Gospel. Welcome again. We are very happy that you're here. We're grateful that you're here, and for our visitors again, it's an encouragement to us that you made that choice to be here. I pray that we are an encouragement to you. Let's be mindful of the many of our number that are sick, going to have procedures. We have quite a few out that are sick, and we still have quite a few out on vacation and traveling, so keep them in your prayers also. Real quick here, I just wanted to mention this. Maybe I didn't do the best job the other day really talking about this permission-based mailing. This right here is more or less for locals, right? This isn't a list to get on the phone tree per se, but that doesn't mean that someone, we couldn't add them to that. So that's not what this is. This right here is number one to get us doing something, to get some names, but basically just getting basic information so that we can send people that information in the mail periodically. Stress, we won't abuse the privilege if they give us their address. And we're going to let them know things that are going on. And that way, you know, we're going to be in their mind, so if they make that decision to seek God, seek religion, seek a church, that more than likely they'll come to us. And then, of course, we need to build a relationship and we need to teach. But this right here is just to make contact with people and get their permission to send them things in the mail. And, of course, it's mainly directed at people that live in the area so that they would come and contact us. If you have any more questions on that, please let me know. Here's a portion from an article from a few years back. Maybe you heard of this, remember it. Michael and Amy Sparks. Michael and Amy Sparks went to a local thrift shop, and it was in the Nashville area. They found an old document, and they thought it looked pretty neat. So they bought it for $2.48. And they had this document for quite a while. And Michael thought, you know, let's have someone check this out. And they had someone check it out, say, hey, you got something special. And they had someone else check it out. Hey, this is really special. And then had a professional check it out. And what they realized was they bought for $2.48 one of the original commissioned copies of the U.S. Constitution. James Madison, 1820, commissioned it. And they went to sell it at auction for $477,000. Now, before they bought it at the thrift shop, a fellow by the name of Stan had this old document, a commissioned copy of the Constitution, hanging in his garage, he said, for over 10 years. Just thought it looked neat. And finally, spring cleaning time came, and he took it off the wall, and he donated it. Now, what's interesting about this story, and I think really fits in with what we're looking at this morning, is Stan was wealthy and did not know it. And for a time, Michael and Amy Sparks were wealthy and did not know it. Listen, we're a whole lot richer than they are. I think sometimes we don't know or we forget just how rich we truly are as God's children. We forget, or maybe we just don't know what we have access to. This morning, let's examine 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, 7th book of your New Testament. And we're going to be looking at the resurrection chapter here. And a good way to remember this chapter, I like to remind, the first half of this chapter is basically about the resurrection of Jesus. Second half is about our resurrection if we get into his resurrection. And so I want you to read with me here for just a moment, beginning of verse 1. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand." Verse 2, "by which," that is, by this gospel, "by which also you are saved, if it's conditional, if you hold fast," or you keep in memory, right? what I have preached to you unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. Now, friends and brethren, here in chapter 15, Paul uses a word here that describes how rich, how blessed we are. That word he uses here is gospel. Right there in verse 1, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you," there's that word, "the gospel. I declare to you the gospel." Now, you know what the word gospel means, right? It means good news. Why is it good news? Well, it's about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, I know sometimes preachers, we stand up here in front of people and we preach it as if it's bad news. You know, we'll bang on the podium up here and we'll say, "You bunch of sinners," and we preach it as if it's bad news sometimes. But it's not, it's good news. This is good news. Sometimes we preach it as if it were bad news, but I want you to understand here what he's really saying. Just like Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." What he's really saying is, "I'm not ashamed of the good news." Right? And what he said there in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, he's saying, "Moreover, brethren, I preach, I declare unto you the good news." Mark 16 and verse 15, where we read, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." What he's really saying is, go into all the world and preach the good news. Right? The gospel is the good news. So let's be reminded just how rich we really are. Right? The good news is that God is passionate about your soul. The good news is that God loves you more than you can even understand. That's the good news. Good news is God loves you with such love that words can't even describe that love. The good news is that Jesus left heaven, he came to this earth, that he lived for you, that he died for you, that he rose again the third day for you. That's good news. And listen, here's one way to think about this. You know, I believe with all my heart that if you were the only sinner, that Jesus would have still left heaven for you. He would have still lived and died for you. If you were the only one, I truly believe with all my heart, he would have came to this earth and accomplished that for you. Listen, fathers here, parents, we'll say parents, you want your children to go to heaven, right? Because you love them. Now you might think, well, that's kind of a silly question, right? Think about this, though. Think about the love that you have for your child. You want them to go to heaven. Listen, God the Father loves you more than you could ever love your children. And so he's passionate about your success. He's passionate about your soul. Therefore, we have the good news. God loves you that much. That's how rich, how blessed you truly are. God of heaven, the sovereign creator, the one who said, "Let there be light," the God of heaven who spoke all things into existence. Listen, he's the one that says, "I love you and I have a plan for you." And that's good news. That's wonderful news. He says, matter of fact, I'll prove it to you. If you don't see it, if you're blind to it, he says, "I want you to look to the cross. There's the evidence." You know, what an honor it is as a preacher to get up and stand here before you and preach that good news. What an honor that really is to tell you the story of good news. To preach about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So now this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look at our main study text, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. We're going to look at three words, and they all begin with an S in our text there. And the first one that you're going to see is Scriptures. Look at verse 3 there in our study text. Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all," now your translation may read, of first importance. It's at the top of the list. You know, I've heard before, you know, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Well, what's the main thing here? Right, I'm sure you agree. The main thing Paul says, there's no doubt about it. Are you looking at your Bible? He's saying, here's the main thing, top of the list. Number one on the list, that I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I've received. What are you talking about, Paul? He says, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. Now, of course, when I say Scriptures, this is what I'm talking about right here, the Bible, right? That's what we're talking about. And, you know, do me a favor here real quick before we look at this next verse here. I want you to take a deep breath. Let it out. What is that? I want you to think about this. This right here is God's breath. You see here, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired of God. What does that mean? That means everything that you have in your Bible that you're holding there, the source is from God. It's God-breathed. It's inspired by God. It's by the inspiration of God. And how do we know that? How do we know that all of these things, that Jesus came from heaven, that he came to this earth, that he lived and he died for us and he rose again the third day. How do we know these things? Well, because our Bible tells us so. John, the 14th chapter. Jump over to John chapter 14 real quick. I want you to just think about something here. How do you know that Jesus did all of those things? How do you know Jesus left heaven, came to this earth, that he died on a cross, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, that he rose again? How do we know that? Well, because the Bible told us so. God's very breath told us so. How do we know that we have a wonderful place of glory awaiting the faithful after this life? How do we know that? How do I know what's waiting for me? Well, the Bible tells me so. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. And he goes on, he says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. I'm reading out New King James. There are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself. Now, I know some translations say dwelling place there. That's okay. That's a good translation. But the way I like to look at it, me personally, is I have a dwelling place. I want a mansion. And I got a mansion waiting for me. I can have that mansion, and the pages of this book, the Bible, God's breath, tells me that. And we read in the gospel, the good news of Christ. The Scriptures, the will of God, the mind of God, the heart of God, the voice of God. This is God's breath. All Scripture is God-breathed. And according to that, I can learn all about the good news, what God did for me. Now, this second word, I want you to notice from 1 Corinthians 15. As I read of the gospel here, the good news, you know, this next word, it's a negative word, it's a bad word, it's a four-letter word with only three letters. And of course, that word is sin. Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. I apologize, the PowerPoint's just a little bit behind here. I want you to jump over to Isaiah chapter 53 real quick. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. I want you to listen to here how the prophet Isaiah puts it. And maybe you've read this a whole bunch of times. I want you to read it again as if you've never heard it before. It's fresh to your ears, your mind. Listen to it again here with me. Listen for the pronouns. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, brethren, do you see what I see? Do you see the pronouns a prophet uses here, Isaiah used in these verses? Right? So five times the prophet said that Jesus the Messiah, he will die because of our sins. Four times Isaiah says he will die because we are sinners. And one time the prophet Isaiah says he was going to die for us. And then Paul comes along in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 15, he's saying the same thing that Isaiah just said. You know why Christ died? Right, I got to personalize this. Why did Christ die? Well, because the man standing before you right now is a struggling sinner. Christ went to that cross because I keep falling short. You know, I wish I could stand up here and say I got it all figured out, that your preacher never makes a mistake and never sins. It's just simply not the case. For we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. Same chapter, verse 10. There's none righteous, no, not one. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 46, we're reminded that we all have a sin problem. I wish I could stand up here before you and say that I've got it all figured out. I got Satan whooped and I never make a mistake. But that wouldn't be true. It's not true for any of us. There's no one who sins not. 1 Kings 8 and verse 46. All right, you see, this morning here, we're in this together. Because we all fall short. The elders sin, deacons sin, teachers sin, all of us here, we sin. We fall short of the glory of God. That's why Christ died, because of our sin. That's why we needed him to die in our law place on the cross. The word sin literally means missing the mark. And, you know, if you're like me and you go out hunting and shooting, you miss the target sometimes, right? That's what this word means. We'll miss the mark in what? Well, in loving God or loving others. That's what sin literally means. Well, what's the target we're aiming for? Well, we're aiming to be like Jesus. He's our target. And when we're not, we miss the mark and we sin. We're trying to be like Jesus. We're trying to be like our target here. And before we go on to our last main point here, I want you to do a mental exercise with me real quick. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about whatever sin you struggle with the most. Right? We all have that one main thing that we struggle with, that one thing that besets us. That ensnares us, that entangles us. You know what it is. Maybe you've been ignoring it lately, but I want you to bring that sin to mind. What is that sin that you struggle with? Right? Is it pride or maybe lust or greed? You know, maybe it's gossip for some. You just can't wait to tear somebody down. Maybe it's lying. You just got a hard time telling the truth. You know, God hates a lying tongue, right? Proverbs 6. Maybe you get angry and the next thing out of your mouth is blankety blank. Ephesians 4 verse 29, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. You remember that one? How about over here in Matthew chapter 5? Maybe it's lust. Right? Maybe you struggle viewing pornography, knowing what Jesus warned, that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Verse 28. Maybe it's apathy towards the work of the Lord. Maybe it's spiritual laziness. Maybe you left your first love, Revelation 2 and verse 4. What is that sin that you struggle with? You got it right here? What's that number one sin, that struggle? You got it in your mind? That's why Jesus died. That's why he went to the cross. Right? Because we're messed up, we're broken people, we keep missing the mark, haven't we? And that's the bad news. That's why we need the good news, the gospel. That's why we need our third word here. Number three, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Savior. Now, I know the word Savior is not in that text, but it's absolutely implied. Christ, who is he? He's our Savior. It's absolutely implied here. Christ the Savior died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Listen, Acts 4 and verse 12. There's no other name under heaven by which men are saved. No other name other than Jesus the Christ, our Savior. Matthew, the first chapter. Matthew chapter 1. Even the angel of God told Joseph before Jesus was born, she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he, Jesus, shall save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, Jesus is our Savior. Now, for the remainder of this point here, we're going to do another mental exercise. I want us to, as much as possible, in our minds, go back about 2,000 years. Let's think about our Savior. Let's think about what he went through according to Scriptures to take care of our sin problem. And I want you to really think about this, and I want you to think about the sights and the sounds of the cross and what occurred and what that might have felt like to the best of our ability. This needs to be at the very core of who we are. I want you to see and hear and feel how that Roman soldier took the hand of Jesus and nailed it to that filthy tree. And I want you to see maybe how that spike, that nail, was probably about 6 to 8 inches long. And in my mind's eye, it was a nail that had been used many times. Dried blood on it, rusty, jagged. I want you to see how it was pierced through the flesh of our Savior and the sound that might have made. How that flesh was being torn. You know, to this Roman soldier, this was just another criminal. This wasn't the Savior, just another criminal. I want you to know that it wasn't those filthy nails that kept our Savior up on the cross. That's not what kept him there. It wasn't some angry Jewish mob that kept him up there. It wasn't the power of the Roman Empire that kept him up there. What kept him up there was his love for me, because I'm a struggling sinner. That's why he stayed on that cross. That's why he didn't call 10,000 legions of angels to destroy the world, because he knew that I would die in my sins if he didn't stay on that cross. That's my Savior. That's our Savior. That's what Scripture tells us. He did that because I'm weak. Because I can't control myself. You can't control yourself. We sin. We fall short of the glory of God. We miss the mark. So there's our Savior. Listen to some of the words of the Savior after he was lifted up for us on that cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How do you preach that? How do you preach that? When you really think about that statement, it makes some of our small differences seem pretty petty, doesn't it? Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. He looks at one of the thieves on the cross next to him, and he says, today you will be with me in paradise. A real criminal. Today you will be with me in paradise. Then he looks at the foot of the cross, at his mother and at the one whom he loved, the disciple whom he loved. Mother, here's your son. Son, here's your mother. Then he says, I'm thirsty. And then about 3 o'clock that afternoon, he lifts up his voice and he says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then he says, it is finished. Then he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. His heart stops. His lungs stop taking in air. His eyes close. The disciples flee. Satan smiles for 3 days. But 3 days later, first day of the week, the breath returns. His eyes open. The stone is rolled away. Listen, the stone wasn't rolled away to help him escape. My Creator, the one who created all things like that, he didn't need help getting out of a tomb. Rather, that stone was rolled away so that we, as humanity, as sinners, could look in and see an empty tomb. No bones, no dead body. He's alive. He arose from the grave. I thought about asking Brother Matt to lead the song, and I couldn't think of the title. Up from the grave, he arose, hallelujah, he arose. Great song. When we sing that song, we think about what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record for us. What do we see when we think about the cross? What crosses our minds? So he died for me, he was buried for me, and he rose again for me. That's the good news. That's the gospel. I hope that's why you're here this morning. You want to hear the good news. You want to live the good news. You want a life filled with the good news. So what needs to happen? Let me tell you what needs to happen this morning. You need to obey the good news, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible teaches us, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, that one day Jesus will return with his mighty angels. He's going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey his gospel. Read it for yourself. It's in there. If you never obey the gospel, the good news that cost God so much, we're told that Jesus will take vengeance, punishment on you. Not my words, but the words of God himself. Now you might say, well, Sean, if the gospel is the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, how do I obey the gospel? That is a good question. As a matter of fact, that is the question. That is the most important question you could ever ask and answer this side of eternity. Let me show you or encourage you to see for yourself just exactly how you obey the gospel, how you obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Number one, I want you to see that you got to die. You have to die. You have to die to be raised again. The Bible says you got to die to self. You have to die living for the things that you want to live for. You have to die to living for Satan. You have to die for living to fulfill your fleshly desires. You got to die. The Bible calls that repentance, by the way. You've got to die, just like Jesus died. Also, the Bible tells us that you got to be buried. Now you don't have to, number one, die on a cross. Jesus did that for you. And you don't have to be buried in a borrowed tomb. But you got to be buried in the water graves of baptism. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 tells us all of this. You've got to die, you've got to be buried, so that in the end, you can be raised with him. You see how that works? You're reenacting the gospel. You're reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now here's the thing, if you haven't done that, why not? The most important question you can ask and answer is, how do I obey the gospel? If you haven't done it, why? Why haven't you? Why aren't you willing to study that a little bit more? Maybe you've done that and you forgot your life was all about the good news, the gospel. And you left God once again. Would you come back home this morning? Would you be willing to die to self once again and come back to the Father? We'll show you the love of God. We'll show you the love of Christ. If you have a need this morning spiritually, let somebody know, please, as we stand, as we sing.